Yes, that's right. He is back after a couple of weeks hiatus. Dan Slabaugh rejoins the Scoop today. Dan, we missed you, but glad to have you back.
I appreciate it, Seth. It's really good to be back. It's been a long time, it feels like. And in that time, obviously, the Timberwolves have went through their most important stretch in 13 years. So I definitely missed following the team last week while I was on spring break in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, which is a great time. It was fantastic. Being in the mountains with no service at the same time when the team I followed for 8-9 years has been in the most important stretch, or is in the middle of the most important stretch during that time, it was a little challenging, but obviously that is just the millennial talking in me, and no internet service for 4 or 5 days can be a little chain for sure, it's going to be a crazy last 2 or 3 weeks coming down the stretch, and I'm really excited to see how the season plays out.
Yeah, just taking a look at what the Wolves have been doing recently, and they went through a tough stretch this past weekend, losing to the Spurs and the Rockets. They've kind of alternated wins and losses here. They lost 3 in a row a couple of weeks ago to the Trailblazers, Jazz, and Celtics, then won 2 in a row against Golden State and Washington. And then their most recent win was against the Clippers. So it seems like, and we were talking about it a little bit before we got started, they just have been kind of treading water right now, and just watching all of the Western Conference playoff seeds slide up and down around them.
Yeah, you can't ask for anything more during the gauntlet that the Wolves went 5-5. Over that 10-game brutal stretch. The thing is, the teams above them don't lose. They probably have a combined 950 percentage record in the last 2 weeks, and I'm not even kidding. It's been that ridiculous. The Pelicans actually just went through a 3-night stretch where they played 3 games in 3 nights and won all of them. Portland can't lose. They have won 13 out of 14. Utah has won about 21 out of 24. And then obviously San Antonio's got hot too. They won 5 straight. And so this has just been a crazy last few weeks, and the Wolves have not been able to get any help from weaker teams in the league, especially in the Eastern Conference. And that obviously is in association with the teams in the West not being able to lose. So it almost feels that the only way the Wolves are going to move up is from the games where the teams are competing with play each other. So the Wolves have 10 games left, and they're all very manageable. At least 5 of them are versus tanking teams, so pretty much the teams want to lose, and the other 5 are versus no team in the top 5 for either conference, I don't believe. So as far as the teams that the Wolves are competing with, the Wolves have by far the lightest schedule, so that is good news to hear if you're a Wolves fan. And again, once the teams that the Wolves are competing with start to match up with each other on nights, then that'll give the Wolves an opportunity to make up some ground finally, because they've just had obviously trouble making up ground or getting into the top 6 seed, which should, as we've discussed in the past, the top 6 seed should be the primary goal for the Wolves. It would give them a fighting chance at winning a playoff series, especially with Jimmy Butler back in the fold. A bottom 2 seed would, be an unquestionable either sweep or series in 5 games, or versus a Golden State or a Houston. So, obviously, if the Wolves were you know, in the top four for more than half of the season, which they were, and then drop down to the bottom two and get swept by Houston or Golden State. That would be a, that would definitely be disappointing as a Wolves fan. And I think Wolves fans have the right and expectation to, for the team to, you know, finish as a top six seed, because they're capable of it, and they're 10 games, you know, the remaining 10 games are, is very, very manageable and far lighter and easier to, than, you know, the teams are competing with. So it's going to be, it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Dan, one of the biggest keys for the Wolves since Jimmy Butler went down has been finding somebody to step in and fill that spot in the starting lineup. And it seems like they have found a guy who wasn't getting a lot of run early in the season, but now has found a home in that starting lineup, that being, of course, Nemanja Bjelica, who has been able to give them some solid three-point shooting, but also just a chance for them to exploit a mismatch at that three spot. And it seems like that has been paying off some big dividends.
Oh, yeah. Nemanja Bjelica might, you know, I've really enjoyed seeing the Nemanja Bjelica that felt like we were promised when he came over 3 years ago. You know, I think before the season, I wondered if Bjelica had a spot in the league. You know, though, always in the back of my mind, I believed he would show that he did it, given the chance. And, you know, he's been given that chance over the last 10 games and has really stepped up to the plate. You know, we see the playmaking, do-it-all, sometimes do-it-all stretch four, who can passively function as a three, which is an extremely valuable piece in the league, and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of money he fetches this offseason and if the Wolves match. I think, obviously, we've seen Bjelica be more aggressive. He's a knack for the ball, and, you know, he's one of the best shooters on the team. Him and Jeff Teague and Karl Anthony Towns are the three best shooters on the team. So he's really important for the Wolves' spacing, rebounding. And he, Kane Asupas had a piece on Bjelica last week, and it was just kind of highlighting that Nemanja Bjelica is perfectly average on defense, and that is that's definitely a valuable piece for the Timberwolves, who struggle defensively. And Bjelica will not hurt you defensively, and he will definitely help you on the offensive end. And he's just a hustle player. He's playing with so much confidence, and just like a lot of players have stepped up in the absence of Jimmy Butler, Nemanja Bjelica has well. So good to see Nemanja coming in, you know, finally playing like the player we thought he could be, and he's almost exceeding those expectations. So good to see Nemanja playing well.
Dan, this is going to sound, this makes me wonder if time travel is in fact real. A player that has really had an impact here over the past couple of games, but now dealing with some injury issues, Derrick Rose. And I know there were a lot of people that were critical, myself included, of that acquisition, but he really provided a spark offensively. Off the bench, but now was hurt in the Wolves' win against the Clippers, and it's going to be a difficult role to fill for Rose, which I guess showed that he did have some value when the Wolves brought him in.
Oh, absolutely. In the game in San Antonio, his plus-minus didn't finish too great, but I don't really think that was, you know, in correlation with his play. I think he provided a little bit of a spark in San Antonio, but finished with about 8 points, 2 assists in that game off the bench. And then last game versus Los Angeles, he was a big contributor off the bench. He 14 points, and he provided a spark, that's for sure. So he's, you know, in theory, he's helped the Wolves probably half the games he's played. In the previous games before the last two, when Thibodeau would trot the lineup of Derrick Rose, Tyus Jones, and Jamal Crawford on the court, they would get annihilated. That five-man lineup was atrocious and should never have seen the court. It was pretty pathetic and a very poor coaching decision by Tom Thibodeau. And you know, in the last couple of games, Rose has provided a spark, and you look like the superior player to Tyus Jones, who has fallen off a little bit, but still a worthwhile and a useful backup point guard in the league for sure. You know, right now it's frustrating that Rose, you know, is suffering from an ankle injury because he's finally starting to find himself and you know, with his injury, you know, in issues in the past, it's hard to know how he's going to come back and how the injury will affect him and if it will linger, in fact. So you know, we'll see what happens. It does not look like he's expected to travel with the team tonight to New York or play in Philadelphia tomorrow night. So looks like he's out for this road trip, and you know, obviously the Wolves will hope they can get him back next week. And I mean, it, you know, with the way he's played, there are worse things to, you know, take a chance on a former MVP. I know he said approximately six knee injuries. He's left his previous teams. And, you know, obviously I might be changing my stance a little bit on him just because he has truly provided a spark in the last maybe one or two games he's played. I know one or two games doesn't define a player, but the Wolves bench depth, as everybody knows, is extremely weak, and anything, any contributions they can, you know, get are welcome to the table. So we'll see if he plays next Monday versus the Grizzlies at home. That'll be after they return from the road trip, and we'll see how Thibs, you know, if he's available to play, how Thibs inserts him into the rotation.
Dan, we got a two-game East Coast swing starting up tonight as the Wolves will be in New York taking on the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks, obviously, without Kristaps Porzingis, really not the same team as they were with him in the lineup. I think they're something like 25-45, somewhere around there. But you can't mark this game down in the schedule as a win because we've seen games like against the Atlanta Falcons or the Atlanta Hawks on the road, where the Wolves just have not shown up from the get-go, and then they end up losing that game. So a tough one tonight against the Knicks, and then followed by an even tougher game tomorrow night against the 76ers.
Absolutely. Fox Sports North and Timberwolves commentator or broadcaster Dave Benz tweeted something I found very interesting this morning. He said that since the NBA playoffs expanded in 1983 and 1984, no Western Conference team has ever won a playoff game in the same season in which it lost at least once to every Eastern Conference team. The New York Knicks are the only East team not to have beat Minnesota this year, which is a pretty telling stat, and it's you know, obviously indicative of how much the Wolves have struggled versus Eastern Conference teams this year, and how much how much of a better position they would be if they would have taken care of those teams and won those games. But tonight is an opportunity to shore those holes up and finally show that they can beat an inferior team, especially ones in the East who are, you know, which is known to be an inferior conference. So, the Knicks don't have much to play for. They are trying to lose. That said, they still have a little bit of talent on their roster and, a roster that can piece together a game that, you know, can you know, provide a win for, you know, the organization. So, it's not like you're playing a Hawks or a Grizzlies team that is just, you know, without talent and trying to go hardest, you know, to tank. But the Knicks are definitely somewhere in that category. They don't have much to play for. They're trying to get the highest pick possible. So this is one of those games that is versus tanking teams, and obviously the Wolves need to take advantage of. The important game will be tomorrow in Philadelphia against a team who is trying to, you know, solidify a playoff seeding. They're currently fourth in the Eastern Conference, just half game up on the Pacers at the fifth seed, and just a one game above the Washington Wizards at the sixth seed. So they're really playing for something, and if the Wolves can go into Philly and steal a win in the city of brotherly love, then that would be huge for the Wolves, and I think definitely give them a spark and some momentum coming back home to face the Grizzlies. And then after that, I think they'll, most of their remaining schedule will be at home. They face the Grizzlies, Hawks, and then they go on the road to face the Mavericks. So in reality, if they can beat the if they can beat the Knicks tonight and the 76ers tomorrow, they should be able to go on a five-game winning streak, considering how hard the Grizzlies, Hawks, and Mavericks are tanking right now.
Dan, I had to get your reaction to something that happened after that win against the Clippers. With that win, the Wolves got to 41 wins, which for the first time since 2005 clinches at least a 500 season for the Timberwolves. I continue to read that that tweet and that headline and continue to just be just blown away by it. But that's where the Wolves have been, and despite some of the ups and downs throughout the season, it shows how truly far they have come this year to be able to get to at least 500, hopefully more than that.
Oh, I'm with you, Seth. When I look at those headlines, it's a very cool achievement for this Timberwolves team, but in another sense, it's almost sad, like how bad the organization and the team has been over the last 13 years. I mean, just to achieve a 500 record once in the last 13 years is pretty telling from where they've been and at how far they've come. I mean, even if the Wolves didn't win another game this season, the Wolves would still, they would still have a 10-game win spike to last year. So the Wolves have taken massive steps, and obviously that you have to give credit to Tom Thibodeau as president of basketball operations by bringing in Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson, who have changed the culture, I think. And obviously there's the future is uncertain with Tom Thibodeau as a head coach and president of basketball operations. Where is the team ceiling with him, occupying that position is probably the biggest question this team faces going into the offseason and the future years. So that will be interesting. And, the Wolves have came very far and since 2005, and they're finally on track to break the 13-year playoff drought. And I believe ESPN's win projection, they gave the Timberwolves a 95% chance of making the playoffs. Obviously, it's not, they haven't clinched until until the buzzer sounds on that particular night. But it's looking good for the Wolves, and that if they really just take care of business over the last 10 games, they should be a lock. And obviously, the primary goal should be to lock up a top six seed, because that will make the playoff experience much more fun for the fans and much more meaningful for the players to play in an actual competitive playoff series.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head with that. Dan, in looking at content coming up for On the Prowl, I know I put together a little bit of a look at what is coming up for the Wolves after this gauntlet stretch that they just got done with. What are some other things that listeners can check out coming up here at On the Prowl?
Yeah, so we'll continue to churn out playoff race updates in pieces, because this is obviously the first time we've been able to do this in our history. So that's something we'll be continuing to pump out. And then I believe one of us will have a piece on, where Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler stand in the All-NBA team race. Jimmy Butler's missed, I believe, 10 games now. So I don't think that should. It definitely could put a dent in his All-NBA team chances, but you know, it's going to be interesting to see where those two end up, and you know, on the All NBA team, and if one of them falls out, or be both of them, you know, make it. I don't see a scenario where both of them miss out. I think Karl Anthony Towns is a near lock with how he's played and how he, you know, was, you know, a member of the All-Star team. So so that'll be a piece that we'll have coming out soon, whether it's, you know, before the regular season ends or when the regular season concludes. But then, you know, that's kind of what we got lined up going in now. And I think we might have a piece evaluating Tom Thibodeau as head coach and president of basketball operations when the season concludes as well. So those are just a few pieces we're working on over on the prowl, and we're just enjoying watching watching a team who is in the middle of a playoff race for the first time since we've been following, or at least since I've been following. I know some of the other staff members are a little older than me, so they've had the privilege of watching Kevin Garnett and the Timberwolves go to war in, you know, the 2002-2004 in those years and in years past. So yeah, we're just trying to soak this in and have fun with it.
Outstanding, Dan. Great stuff again here today. Glad to have you back in the fold, and we look forward to just following this playoff push here over the final handful of games as the Wolves try to get to the playoffs for the first time in a long time. So thank you for joining the Scoop here today, and we will break it all down again with you next week.
Hey, thanks, Seth. I appreciate it.